This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. B. Mitch, I'm Finley live at the Rude Employee Appreciation Day. Ribs are coming out of the smoker. It's going to be a good time out here, man. Beautiful day outside, too. I mean, seriously, couldn't get a nicer day. We're going to be joined by Smokin' Al Koken here in just a few minutes. Smoke was obviously part of the monumental coverage last night. Caps Game 5 win over the Montreal Canadiens, the Habs. I just got these odds sent to me. Who do you think's the favorite in this series, B? Washington does have home ice advantage. They get, if it goes seven, they get four games at home. We're going to talk to Al Koken right now. Maybe he could tell us. We're going to get back to the odds in a minute, but Al Koken joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Smoke, how are you, sir? What a win last night.
That was really great, JP. It was, I think, something they absolutely needed. Look, yep. They could have gone back to Montreal and won Game 6. They could have come home and won Game 7. But I think collectively, a little time off will help. But I think more importantly for the confidence of this group, getting that job done in five games the way Florida did it in their series and the way Carolina did it in theirs was pretty important.
Al, last night I was there and I sat and I watched them. And I think that's some of the best hockey they played in a long time where – they were fast, they were heavy. I mean, they played great defense, and then Thompson was unbelievable. Do you agree?
Yeah, wholeheartedly. You know, they talked about it before the game, that they needed to play their best game of the series. I still think, B, there's another level they can get to, you know, tighten up a few things. I mean, early on, thought they had a few too many turnovers that made Logan Thompson have to jump into the game pretty quickly. But I agree. You know, you could also see, too, that this Montreal team has got a lot of really good young talent, but one of the strengths of this Capital team all year long, and they're going to need it because they're playing a very similar team in this regard in the next round, Carolina, the Capitals have four lines they can count on. You saw last night at one point Martin St. Louis took Nick Suzuki off his number one line to put him with two other players to try and create a second line. And one of the things, as I said, the Capitals have is four lines that you can get out there. So Carolina plays four lines. You're going to need four lines. And I think you saw it last night where when you get that rotation going, when you get everybody involved in the game, you can see where the Capitals' strengths really lie. And it came to the forefront last night.
Well, you talk about going four lines deep. Getting Protas back certainly helps with that. What did you think? I mean, just the size of that dude on the ice it stands out. But what did you think of his return, and how important is that, especially for this next round?
It's huge, JP. Right off the bat, you watch the first four games, and the Caps did a number of good things. But when he comes in that lineup, that reach of his, when he, you know, on skates, 6'6", that long stick, and then I've always marveled watching the vantage point I have, a great spot there near in the Zamboni corner. And it's always fascinating to watch defensemen on other teams that haven't played Protas. They think they've got a little time to make a play, and then suddenly, I think somebody kind of referred to it like Inspector Gadget. This thing comes shooting out there, and that stick and that long reach, and it pokes the puck free. And he's so good at creating those turnovers, and once he creates the turnovers, he's got the skill to do something with it and the size to hold on to it. So bringing him back into that series, getting him a game before he's got to face a very tough Carolina team, I think was really huge for the Capitals. To be honest with you, I was a little surprised at how many minutes he played, but it was good to get him back into action, and it's going to be a real valuable addition. I don't know if he stays on that line with Dowd and Duhaime. Maybe that's how they start the series and see what happens, but just having him back there gives them another weapon that was missing in those first four games.
Thompson, though, his game last night, man, they tried to press a little bit. The Canadians did, but he just erased all of that.
That's what you need this time of year, right? I mean, you know, a goaltender can cover up for a number of different mistakes, and particularly keep a team in it early. The you know, I think at one point I look up at the shot clock. I think it was like 8-1 shots on goal for the Montreal Canadiens, and some of those 8 shots were high quality scoring chances. So Thompson kept them in early before they found their stride. Obviously, the Ovechkin goal really got things going. But absolutely, B. I mean, you know, whether it's the start of the game to keep them in it or whether it's late in the game to protect that lead, that, you know, goaltending this time of year is magnified. It's such an important position to begin with. But this time of year, you really start to see the difference between elite goaltending and just good goaltending. And to go as far as you need to go, you've got to have elite goaltending. And right now, Logan Thompson is showing you he's capable of doing that. Now, as I said, it's a different animal that they're facing in Carolina. Not only are they a four-line team, but they're a high-volume shot team. They want to shoot from everywhere. They're looking for, you know, deflections, traffic. They're looking for those screens from the point. All those things are going to come into play here. So you're going to see a kind of a different style of play, a different type of team that they're going to face with Carolina. So that's where I think, you know, knowing that Logan Thompson's got everything kind of ramped up, he's going to see more volume of shots too, and that's going to be very, very important for you know, for the Capitals, now that he's going to be able to take that next step with a different style of team he's facing.
Talking with our friend Al Koken, Smokin' Al Koken. You can follow him on X at Real Smokin' Al. Of course, Al joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. You can watch all of his work covering the Capitals on Monumental Sports Network, all the interviews, all that stuff down on the ice. Smoke, specifically with Thompson, you know, it was only 2 games ago. The end of game 3, he had to be helped off the ice, and it looked like I was worried it was another head injury after what he dealt with at the end of the regular season. There was a lot of speculation that it was a knee or something. He was back in game 4, played, I mean, the glove save he made last night late in the third was incredible. What exactly happened with Logan, and how tough must this guy be? I mean, all these guys, but specifically for a goalie like that.
Yeah, well, I was sharing your concern on either injury, and the way he was being helped off the ice made me think it's a lower leg injury, it's a knee injury, something like that, because it looked like he couldn't put any weight on it. I guess as it turned out, he did admit that he got dinged, but I think it was more about he was a little wobbly. So that's why he needed help off the ice, as opposed to I can't put any weight on my leg. And that, once that was kind of solved, and then when I saw the next day, he was at their practice. Now, he didn't get on the ice, but seeing him at practice, getting treatment, things like that, said to me, if this was another concussion, they would have kept him away from everybody. You know, keep him in your room, keep him in the door. You know, right. As B knows, you know, these concussions come in so many different, the symptoms come in so many different varieties, but a lot of it has to do with vision and light and dizziness and things like that. The fact that he was up and walking around with no limp gave me encouragement there, and just seeing him said to me that it wasn't going to be that serious. Because I think he did miss some time, earlier where he wasn't around the team, wasn't on the ice, and that's when I saw him the next day. I was like, man, that's a good sign, although I have to admit, I wasn't 100% sure he was going to be able to go in the next game, and as it turned out, he was able to, and it made a huge, huge difference in the result.
Huge difference. Talking with Al Koken here. You know what's funny, Smoke, is we've talked about Protas and Thompson and all this. Last night, the guy that got it all going, the first goal from the office on the power play, Alex Ovechkin. And it's like, not that we take it for granted, but I don't even, you know, for us to not discuss him until 10 minutes into our conversation or whatever, he's playing. There have been in the past playoff series where Ovi wasn't at his best. Hell, last year against the Rangers, I think he was playing through some injuries. Yeah. He wasn't at his best. He's playing lights out. He had 4 goals in 5 games in the first round.
Yes.
Yeah, and you've heard Spencer Carberry kind of talk about it, that he knows how much Alex was disappointed with what happened last year, his performance in what happened last year. And I think that was something that Alex was bound and determined to make sure wasn't going to happen again this year. And yeah, leading by example, I mean, that goal was so massive because A, it got it really revved the crowd up. It got his team going. I think it put a seed of doubt then in the Montreal Canadiens because that was an instant. That wasn't like late in the power play you get some home. That was literally the first seconds of that power play, and I think that kind of told the Montreal Canadiens, hey, if you think you can kind of run around and be physical with us, guess again, because we're going to make you pay one way or the other. And having four goals now in five games to start the playoffs at 39 years old, you know, that really bodes well. But you can see how last year bothered him, and he was making sure it wasn't going to continue this year, and leading by example in the same way that Tom Wilson has. I mean, both of those guys, when you think about the physicality that they've brought to this series to set the tone, you're going to have to do similar things, try and do the same things if you can. As I said, Carolina's a little different team. They're faster. They really depend so much on their forecheck to get things going. You've got to do the same thing that you try to do with Montreal, though, which is spend more time in their defensive end and wear their D down, and that's where the size of Ovi, the hits he threw in game one to set the tone, had seven hits in that game. That set the tone. He also scored, obviously, the overtime game, you know, the goal he scored there, that set the tone. All those things really come through. Tom Wilson's going to have to kind of have that same impact on the series, because if you allow through the neutral zone against, you know, with Montreal, if you allow through the neutral zone with speed for Carolina, you're in trouble. They've got to be able to contain that, and the best way to do that is make them pay at their own end, make them work defensively to keep you out of their net.
But when you look at it, Al, in your time watching the NHL, Ovi's a goal scorer. But hell, he's hitting as many people as Thomas.
No.
You know,
that's where by playing on teams, and you were a team leader in your own right. There are different ways to be a team leader. Some guys, when they speak up in the locker room, everybody gets quiet, and wow, you know, that's a message from this guy. With Ovi, it's never about the verbal message. It's always about the physical message. If I'm doing this, you've got to do it as well. And when you're the captain of that team and you set the tone there, who's not going to follow? Who's not going to then go and say, well, if he's hitting everybody, I better go out there and do the same thing. That's what's been so great about him over the years. He has a knack for knowing what is needed and when. Is it time to set the tone physically? Boom. Is it time to set the tone with a key goal? Boom. He knows how to deliver in those moments, and the team follows him into battle like that. That's been something that's been consistent with his career. But as it gets a little older, when you see him pick his spots now, this year during the regular season, you know, we've seen years where he's had many more hits during the regular season, but we've always found him in big games and obviously in the playoffs. He knows when it's time to bring it. He knows when it's time to remind everybody, I still can get there at 240 pounds and literally make you pay the price. And yes, that has an effect in a playoff series, whether it's, you know, it had an effect in game one, but game one was all about if it happens to get to game seven. I've taken a piece of you every single game. You're not going to have much left if we have to get to game seven. And that's what he's always done throughout his career.
Talking with our friend Al Kokin here on the Rude Guest Hotline. If it ain't rude, it ain't right. Al Kokin, always right. Smoke, I did want to ask.
Occasionally rude, but.
I have never seen you be rude. I know that. Maybe Beamish has a different story.
You haven't driven with me, JP. That's what I'm
But, Smoke, I did at least want to ask you this. How about how much everything changed in game four when Tom Wilson laid that dude out?
Yeah, decapitated him.
A totally legal hit, too.
And everybody you talk to gives you the exact same answer. Everybody said that last night. I had an on-bench interview right after the game with Dylan Strome. The question I asked him was, what made the what turned this series? And he looks at me, he goes, what do you think? I go, I think it was that hit. And he goes, absolutely. Everybody felt the exact same way. And when you think about it, It's again, we were just talking about the physicality, how you have to use what is your strength. This roster, just like it was in 2018, has been built to have size. Yeah, there's some smaller players on this team. You know, the Mangiapanis, who've been very, very effective, and, you know, Rasmus Sandin isn't the biggest guy in the world. But when you look at it, for the most part, this is still a roster with size and physicality, and you've got to play to your strength. But it was the impact of when it happened, not just that it happened. Down 2-1, you create the turnover, you take a guy, you know, who can't get off the ice in time to get a substitute, and you turn that into an instantaneous game-tying goal and completely flip the momentum around in that game and thus in that series. So it's great to have the impact of a big hit, as we talked about, to, you know, maybe make them pay the price later. But that was one of those moments where the hit paid off instantaneously, and from that point on, everything changed, and there's not a single player on that Capital team that won't point to that as being the changing point in the series.
It seemed like as soon as he hit him, he took the life out of him.
Yeah, totally. The life out of that building.
And that dude, the dudes, when he was trying to get off the ice, Al, he was laboring. He was hurt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and good for Carrier to come back last night, because there was a concern, because I think he missed practice the day before. So, you know, good on him to come back. But there's no question that the impact of that, and what, you know, how do you answer that? You could try and answer it on your own. They've got a guy in Josh Anderson who is kind of like – quote-unquote Tom Wilson light, but he's
just a little agitated. He's not tough as Tom.
Right, he's not the same player. I mean, you can think I'm going to go pay somebody else back, but Tom Wilson's impact is not just on the physical side of things. Look at all the big goals he scored. Look at the goal he scored last night, that power play. To get it to 3-0, at 2-0, it's still very much of a game, and obviously at 3-0 when it became 3-1, it's still pretty much a game. But imagine if he hadn't scored that power play goal, and then they get that lucky break to make it a 2-1 hockey game. Then we're talking about a completely different animal. So what Tom Wilson does is just so unique. He's not just a one-dimensional player, and I thought what Spencer Carberry said earlier in the series is so true. He says the reason so many people hate him is because you're jealous that you don't have him on your team, because 100%. He truly is unique to the National Hockey League.
Yeah, and absolutely. That's exactly what it is. Dude's a bad man, bro.
Smoke, do we know when we'll get the Caps schedule for the second round?
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be this afternoon or something like that. I think a lot of this has to do with I don't think they want to get too far ahead of everything. For example, if let's say they said, okay, we'll let you guys start on Sunday. Well, what happens if there's a game 7 with Toronto and Ottawa? Okay. Well, then that would push the Florida and then the winner of that series back. And then what happens if there's some game 7s in the West? There's a lot of 3-2 series out there, but they could easily turn into 7-game series. So do you really want the Capitals and Carolina to start playing hockey where none of the other series have started yet? So I think that's a little bit about what the league is kind of waiting to see. You don't want to get one series so far ahead of everybody else. And I think that's kind of what they're waiting to see. If Toronto wins tonight, I think you'll hear something pretty quickly.
Okay, gotcha. And then lastly, Smoke, just switching gears a hair, because I know how much sports in this city you have covered. I was just curious kind of what you thought by the Commanders' announcement of their intentions to move back to RFK.
Delighted. I couldn't be happier. I understand there's a ton of obstacles, and I understand, you know, politics is going to come into this. But as somebody who, you know, when I first started working in this industry, working at Channel 5, working with the tremendous Bernie Smilovitz, one of the things I got to do was go down and cover the Redskins at RFK. And I'll never forget being there in for that Dallas playoff game and being on the field, on the sidelines, and turning around and watching the stadium literally vibrate in front of me. And the enthusiasm and the passion and knowing that it was in your hometown, not in a suburb, it was in Washington, D.C., that meant something. And I couldn't be happier that it looks like that franchise is coming back to Washington, D.C. It's tremendous, and I hope they can work all the little side angles out. I understand. I'm somebody who looks at it as saying, I knew what the Chinatown area was before A. Poland and to his credit, put a ton of his own money into it. I knew what that area was like. I know what it was like at Nats Park before Nats Park got there. I'm one of those people who sees the positives in these things. I see how areas completely develop around these new ventures. So when I hear people say, well, this city can't afford to put $1 billion in when we can't fix this and that, and we need money for this, I get all that, and that all makes sense. But I also see what happens when those same arguments were made about now Capital One, and specifically about Nats Park. You and I were working with Coach Thompson, right, when we were going through all of this stuff about, we had politicians, how dare they? The schools need this. I get all that, but when you look at what has transformed around Nats Park, you're telling me that the city hasn't benefited many, many times over from the money they laid out for Nats Park by what they've gotten back in the development and the tax revenue and everything else that goes around with it? I think it's going to be the same thing with the new stadium on the old RFK site.
All right,
Doc. Doc.
Al, he called you Doc. I mean, he called you Doc.
I was just looking at the show sheet. I'm sorry.
if I'm compared to the great DOC, that's a compliment.
You guys look a lot alike. Smoke, give me a break. I think B. Mitch and I are both choosing to look at this through an optimistic lens and with a growth mindset, and it seems like you're doing the same. Thank you for the time, man. I know you're swamped, and can't wait to watch the next game.
Yeah, because this series is going to be as intense as this was. It's about to double up, so get ready, folks. It's going to be great.
All right, brother.
Absolutely. That is Real Smokin' Al Kokin joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Give him a follow at Real Smokin' Al. When we come back, you get to hear from Commanders fourth-round wide receiver Jalen Lane.